Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I ask that you quiet our voices, open our ears, and let us hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3:6. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. James 1:17. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Our God is the same past, present, and future. He desires and commands relationship. God in the Old Testament desired relationship. Think about Adam and Eve. Think about creation. God created the earth and everything on it, all the animals, all the plants, and then created human beings. God wanted relationship with those human beings. And even after the human beings sinned, went against God, did what they shouldn't have done, God, they realized that they were naked and they were hiding from God, and God equipped them with clothing. Think about the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was a gardener, a master gardener at that. Abel was a herdsman. And if you remember, God required from them a sacrifice. And Abel was sacrificing one of his choicest animals. But Cain, rather than give the best of what he had grown, kind of gave what you find at Kroger's marked down in the produce aisle, you know, kind of a puffy package of greens that are about ready to explode and expire. And if you remember, Cain killed his brother Abel because he was so angry that God did not take his sacrifice wholeheartedly. He did not embrace it. And even after he killed his brother, God had told him that he would no longer be a gardener. He would be a wanderer. He would have to wander. And even after he did that, Cain was worried that somebody would kill him. And God said, no, I will put a mark upon you that nobody will kill you. So once again, God desired a relationship even after somebody had sinned. Think about Noah and his family. You probably know the story of Noah. Noah and his family were the only family on earth that were still worshiping God. Everybody else had turned very sinful. And so God gave Noah directions on how to build an ark and exactly what to do, calling the animals two by two, a male and female of every animal, to gather on the ark. Once again, showing that God wants a relationship with us. But you're probably thinking, what about the flood? Okay. Well, the thing is, in the Old Testament, we do know that God occasionally found a group of people, or even a couple of people, that their hearts became hardened, and he knew that there was no chance that they would repent. And it is true that God did wipe out the rest of the population. But in most cases, God desires a relationship with his creation. Then our world desires relationship. A missional social relationship. And I'm going to take a few examples of some of the things we do here at First Presbyterian Church. First of all, we do an event called Trunk or Treat. And Trunk or Treat is a very relational event. People spend months ahead of time planning it out. People from the congregation bring in candy. There's that whole relational aspect. In Mitchell Hall, the Wednesday before, we carve pumpkins, gives people a chance to talk with each other as they're doing it. And then at the event itself, people who pass out the candy have this relationship built up with each other, spend time with each other. And likewise, our guests who come, there's that relational aspect. Some of the guests return year after year, some of the children. Another thing we do is ChristNet. And ChristNet, as I mentioned earlier, is something that we just are finishing up today. There's that whole relational aspect. Not only all of the planning that goes into it ahead of time, calls to various churches and the ChristNet organization, but also the people that work ChristNet. Earlier I had people stand who were involved in ChristNet. There's that relational aspect, especially people, and I'll point out Chris Masoretis back there in the sound booth, who come year after year and day after day after day to be a part of it. So he really builds up a relationship not only with the volunteers, but also with our guests. ChristNet, if you don't know, is where we take in homeless people for a week, and we do this with various other churches who will take them in for a week too. Then another thing that we do here are the Group Peru luncheons. And the reason I bring that up, that's usually a once a month event. But a number of people have come to me or my wife and told us afterwards, thank you for doing this event, because it gives us, our family of faith, a chance to come together and have that relational aspect where we have lunch together. Many times when my wife and I are cleaning up in the kitchen, doing dishes, and just kind of finishing up, we'll leave, and it may be 1:30, 2 o'clock, and there are still people in Mitchell Hall that are taking time to have a relational conversation. And then the last event, and I could go on, because there are many things that this family of faith does, but we do something called Feed the Hungry. As a matter of fact, the young adults are going to be doing that this coming Saturday. The youth groups do it also. And that's where we cook up food for approximately 100 people, a hot meal. And we actually set up tables right in the CAS corridor where many homeless or people who are down on their luck gather. And we serve 100 people. They go through the line, and the youth or the young adults will actually serve them and send them off with a hot meal. So there's the relation built up between the volunteers that work it, either the youth groups or the young adults, and then also with the guests that we serve. So our world desires relationship. God commanded Old Testament people to have relationship. When we think about, and Becky did a good job of having the kids come up with some of the Bible characters, one was Moses. God had a direct relationship with Moses. As a baby, if you remember, Moses was put in a basket and put in the river to float downstream. And the reason for that was many of the Hebrew male children were being thrown into the river and drowned by Pharaoh's army because he was worried that the population was getting too large. And you know the story of Moses. He gets rescued by one of the handmaidens of Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter takes this baby and raises him as though he were her own. And Pharaoh even adopts him into the family as an adoptive son. Then we have in Joshua, in the book of Joshua, We have a man who presents and renews the covenant in the promised land of serving only one God. And Joshua was a protege of Moses. Moses took him under his wing and mentored him. Then we have the widow Ruth. And if you remember the story of Ruth and Naomi, Naomi was the mother-in-law of Ruth and another young woman. And Naomi's sons, who the two women were married to, died at an early age. And so Naomi gathered her two daughter-in-laws and said, you have my permission to go return to your families. I have nothing here to offer you. The one daughter-in-law left, but as you remember, Ruth said, your people are my people, your God is my God. So she stayed with him, stayed with her and developed this relationship. And then finally, we have Eli and Samuel. If you remember, Eli was the older priest in the temple, and Samuel was a younger priest who was being mentored by Eli. Once again, that relational bond. So God also commands us to have relationship. John 15:9, as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. So going through this verse piece by piece, God wants this relationship with us. He wants to offer us joy. Now joy, and we've talked about this in the pastor's class and at Converge, joy is different from happiness. Happiness is kind of that peak emotion that you have when things are going real well. It's kind of the opposite of the downward spiral, maybe you go into depression. Joy is a constant emotion, okay? We have joy because we have faith in God, knowing that God will do what is right to us and for us. We are to love each other as Jesus loved us, sacrificially. We need to listen, we need to help, we need to encourage, and we need to give. And then Jesus, as our Lord and Master, he could call us servants, but what does he call us instead? Friends. Okay, he desires that relationship with us. And we are to love those who are different from us. We know it's easy to love people who do good things for us, but we are told even to love our enemies. And we are to love people who are different from us, people from different cultures, different backgrounds, those who are challenged mentally or physically. Our God, who was, who is, and who will be, desires us to become more involved with him and in the lives of others, not just on Sundays, but during the week as well. We were talking about that at Converge last night. We come together as a family once a week, but we need to get involved in each other's lives during the week too. So make sure you listen to somebody who needs an ear, help somebody who is in need, encourage somebody who is unsure or learning, and give of your time, your talents, and your treasures. Our God is the same past, present, and future. He desires and commands relationships. Amen.